But now on BBC Radio 4, our Saturday play takes us back to Yorkshire in 1966.
Dover Goes to Pot by Joyce Porter. Dramatised for radio by Paul Mendelssohn.
From Sergeant Charles McGregor, Scotland Yard, application for transfer, number 23. I know it has long been a tradition that when an outlying county cannot, or will not, handle a major crime, they call in Scotland Yard. I simply have two questions. First, why do you always persist in sending Chief Inspector Dover? And second, why, oh, why does he always ask for me to go with him?
McGregor! Come on, man. We don't have all blasted night. Hurry up with those cases.
Coming, sir. There don't seem to be any porters on the platform this evening.
Flaming typical. They dispatch us to the backside of nowhere and expect us to find our own way to our billet.
I think it all looks rather pretty, sir. All those rolling hills and dales. And did you see that beautiful wee church?
All I can see is rain and ruddy Yorkshire. Why isn't anyone here to meet me?
Well, sir, Chief Inspector Dover.
That's me. Dover of the Yard, in the flesh. Grab hold of these, laddie, but don't go expecting a chip.
I'm not a porter. I'm Inspector Bream, local CID.
How are you now?
Yes. Welcome to Potwinkle, sir. We've a car waiting for you. I think you'll like it.
A car's a ruddy car, isn't it? McGregor, don't dawdle, and get that brolly up, pronto.
Yes, sir.
Please, God, send him pneumonia.
Well, I must say, Sunshine, you're the first police force I've ever come across to use one of these, eh, McGregor?
It's a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud, sir. 3.8 litre.
Yes, but it's not ours. It belongs to Daniel Whibley. We're on our way to see him now.
Who the blazes is he when he's at home?
Daniel Whibley is the most influential man in Potwinkle. He runs this town, Chief Inspector. Whibley Sanitary Wear. You must have seen the name.
Think I've got eyes in me posterior, do you? So why is this Whibley fella doing the honours?
Well,
oh, look. A cocktail cabinet. Now, let's see.
Hey, sir.
Parched after that journey.
Sir, it's Mr. Whibley's daughter who's been murdered.
Oh, yes. Was she married?
Yes, she was.
Husband knocking him out?
Well, yes. Actually, he was the one who found the body.
John Perkin.
Yes, that's it.
Well, what are you sweating about? Just clap the old iron bracelets on this Mr. Whoever and shove him in the pokey. He'll be your man, all right? Always is, now.
Oh, steady on, Chief Inspector. That's a bit sweeping, isn't it?
You trying to tell me how to suck eggs, matey? A glorified traffic warden? I think not. Look, McGregor. Cigars. I'm going to like this Whibley fella.
I'll get right to the point. Chief Inspector Dover, is it?
That's him, Mr. Whibley. Dover of the Yard. Oh, are those sandwiches for me?
No, they're my supper. Can we discuss the case?
No time like the present, sir. You'll find I'm a driven man, Mr. Whibley. Driven. Ask my sergeant here, McGregor. What am I?
Driven. The reason I asked my friend, the Chief Constable, to call you chaps in is that I don't want there to be the slightest hint of suspicion that I've influenced the outcome of this case. And, as we all know, Scotland Yard is above reproach.
Absolutely. You know, one of those malt whiskies would go down a treat while you film here.
On you go. Cynthia was only 21. 3 years ago, quite against my wishes, she married John Perkin, the son of one of our factory workers. Don't ask me why. Apparently, she loved him. The female heart, Dover.
Yeah.
And since then, she's lived on one of those soulless housing estates they throw up these days. Totally unsupported by me.
What does this Mr. Perkin do, sir?
I'll ask the question, Margaret.
He's the manager of a small travel agency in the town.
And your daughter?
Whibley women don't work, Sergeant. Cynthia stayed at home, which is where she was found yesterday afternoon. Beaten to death with a poker. Poor girl.
Sometime between 4:30 and 6:30, I believe.
Oh, do you now? Couldn't these local wallers be more precise than that?
Perhaps she was by the fire, sir. That would affect the onset of rigor mortis.
Exactly. Trained him myself, you know.
Her husband discovered her body when he returned from work. Then he contacted the police. He's now staying with his married sister in Canal Bank Street. That's in the poorer end of town.
Well, that gives me something to be getting on with. Now, it's very late and I haven't eaten since supper time.
I'm not finished.
Sit down, Sergeant.
As you're aware, Chief Inspector, capital punishment's been abolished in this country, a most retrograde step, in my opinion.
You're dead right there, Mr. Wibley. Criminal, I call it. So does McGregor.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, so I'm relying on you, not just to get my poor daughter's murderer to trial, but to expose him as a cold-blooded, deliberate killer. I want him to throw away the key, Dover.
That's as may be, Mr. Wibley, but we've got to catch our murderer first, ain't we?
Good heavens, man, everybody knows who he is. He's John Perking. My daughter's wretch of a husband. Now, could you and I have a few quiet words alone?
McGregor, Scoot.
Sir?
Just wait outside.
Yes, sir.
Now, Chief Inspector, I suggest a little quid pro quo.
You seem happy, sir. So, what was it Mr. Wibley wanted to talk to you about? Something about a quid?
Never mind.
Okay. So, we know Mr. Wibley refused to give the young couple a penny once they got married.
Made their bed, had to ruddy line it.
But Cynthia would inherit all Mr. Wibley's interest when he died, presumably.
What are you getting at, laddie?
Well, if she had no money to leave her husband, why on earth did he murder her?
Probably got sick of her stupid face. You do, you know. Good effect.
Here you are.
I'll take a few. Could be a long night.
What if, say, they had children?
Oh, you and your what-ifs. Wibley did say something about a grandkid naturally changing things. But they didn't have any nippers, did they? Not for want of trying, by all accounts. But after 3 years, not a sign.
Oh. What a pity. So, is there a Mrs. Wibley?
There is, but they're long separated. He only married her for her money.
So when he started to make money of his own?
Exactly. She wouldn't give him a divorce, though. Ah. Women can be so bitter, Sergeant. Now, let's take a quick shifty at the crime scene, then you can arrest young Perkin.
If we have reason to believe he did it, sir.
You and your police college slogans.
Chief Inspector Dover. Constable Harris. Miserable night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, well, if you'll follow me, gentlemen. The poor young woman's still in the living room. Husband found her. In quite a state he was. We haven't touched anything.
I'll touch the kettle, will you, Constable? I need a cuppa fast.
Very good, sir.
Sir, fingerprints?
Reckon the murderer made himself a cup of tea, dear?
All I meant was...
Well, let's have a good butcher's at the late Mrs. Perkin.
Oh, Struth.
What a way to go.
Bit of a look or two. Oh, well.
So, this the murder weapon?
Well, it seems likely, sir. The lab will tell us for sure.
So it must have been someone who knew the poker was here, and who better than hubby, eh?
Isn't that jumping to conclusions, sir?
No. Constable, any sign of breaking in?
Apparently not, sir. Either Mrs. Perkin let her murderer in, or he let himself in with a key.
Which means the husband. So, were you first on the scene?
No, sir. It was Arnold. P.C. Jenkins. Nice young lad. And you know what struck him most, I'll tell you? It was how it all looked so homely. Nice blazing fire, telly still on.
The television was still on.
Don't get caught up in trivia, McGregor. Come on, better search the kitchen.
Looking for clues, eh, Chief Inspector?
That and cake. Very partial to Madeira. McGregor, go and wake up some neighbours.
Yes, sir.
Please don't touch anything else. You know, evidence.
Bit keen, isn't he?
He'll get over it. Well, let's get the kitchen nice. I say that for the poor girl. This table's spotless. Now, what's in here? Ah, chocolate digestives. Cutlery drawer, Constable. You'd be amazed what I've seen put back in cutlery drawers.
Really?
Murder weapons, cutlery. Right, now, what's in this pedal bin? Now, that's very interesting, that. See that, Constable?
Yes, sir.
Chief Inspector.
Where is it? Who's this?
This is Mrs. Carruthers. She lives next door. And Eric.
Hello. I had to bring my Eric his tea, being blessed him.
You any good with a kettle?
Yeah, of course I am.
Make us all a cup of dinner. Possibly forward it. Old McGregor. Older kid, I'll see you, Richard.
Can I, sir? Really?
Hello, Eric.
He's a pretty boy.
I'll leave you to it then, Chief Inspector.
Yes, on you go.
No, Eric, pretty good boy.
No, he likes you, Sergeant. No, 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 you carry on, I'll make the tea. You can't believe it. Only yesterday, Cynthia and I were...
Oh, that's okay, Mrs. Crowe, in your own time.
Yeah, but don't take all night, and I like mine nice and strong. So you and the deceased were good pals?
Yes. Funny that, what with her being a Wibbly and all. But she was no snob, not our Cynthia. She loved her little house, and her hobby, and her telly. Cynthia and her telly. Especially those afternoon cereal things. Wouldn't miss them for anything. And she so wanted a kiddie. She was lovely with my five. She even went to a doctor, you know, on the QT.
What for?
Well, to see if... you know.
No.
To see why she couldn't pump men.
Yes. Oh. Well, the doctor said there was nothing wrong with her, but she couldn't tell poor John, could she? You know men. Well, you can imagine my surprise when she came waltzing in here yesterday morning, looking like she'd just come upon pools. Biscuits.
Of course, biscuits. What do you mean?
What do you think I mean? She had the signs for a while. You know, the signs.
What signs would they be?
Do you know what that thing is you're holding, McGregor?
So, one day last week, without a word to her, Robbie, she went back to the doctor's for a test, to make certain. Well, it came through yesterday morning. That was the last time I saw her alive, when she walked out of my kitchen to go and phone her husband. Here's your tea. Oh,
Mrs.
It's okay, precious. Mummy's here. Here, I'll take him. Thanks, love. Oh, lovely.
So, you're saying Mrs. Perkin was pregnant?
What do you bloody think she's saying? And her husband knew she was up the, of her condition.
Well, I suppose so. Must have done.
Stroke.
Mrs. Crothers, what time did Cynthia Perkin leave you yesterday?
Well, it'd be about 12:30. Yes.
Did her husband come home for lunch?
Oh, no. They do a lot of business at lunchtime at that travel agent's. So Cynthia just made herself a snack, you know, and then she'd sit with her feet up and watch telly.
What about housework? Places neat as a pin?
Oh, she got all that done in the morning.
So how long would she watch television for?
All afternoon. Until 6:15. That's when her favourite cereal finished. As soon as it was over, she'd dash into this kitchen, shove something under the grill, and it'd be ready for her John when he got home round 6:10.
So that's what happened every day. Telly until 5:45, then off to make supper, and her husband would return at approximately 6:10.
Uh-huh. And that's exactly what I saw yesterday evening. Mr. Perkin bicycling up the lane, same time as usual. Only to find...
Lovely copper.
Excuse me, sir, I've got Mrs. Withercombe out here from across the street.
That runny Piccadilly Circus, isn't it? I never get to my kip at this rate.
She says she saw someone suspicious yesterday afternoon.
Oh, don't they all? Well, talk to her outside. She won't chat so long in the cold.
Hello, Mrs. Withercombe.
Who's boss here?
I am now. Just tell us what you saw, madam.
I saw a man...
Could you be more specific, Mrs. Withers?
I'm getting specific. Yesterday afternoon, around 5, I was cleaning my front room windows. The insides, of course. We have a man who used to do the outside.
Oh, get on with it, woman. I need my kit.
Well, he parked his car right down the very end of the road. See that pillar box?
What sort of car?
Oh, well, should I know? Anyway, he came down this way looking at numbers. A tall man with woolly beige gloves on and a light brown coat and hat. I saw him stop here, at the Perkins. He rang on that bell, bold as brass, and Mrs. Perkin let him in. Then they closed the door.
And?
You may well say, and. Do you know how long I had to wait? 25 minutes, if it was a second. Then he came out, on his own, no Mrs. Perkin. I thought, well, there's manners for you. And then he pulled his hat right down over his eyes, turned up his collar and ran like Billy all the way back to his car.
Ran, you see? With his collar up.
And his hat down.
Was it raining?
Bucketing.
Thank you. McGregor, fetch the rolls.
Have you chosen your breakfast, gentlemen?
Bring me a bit of everything, especially black pudding. Use 2 plates if you have to.
I'll have the kippers, please.
Righty-ho. Oh, and excuse me for asking, but are you the policeman up from London working on that awful murder?
We are indeed. And you can sleep safer in your bed, young lady, now that Dover of the Yard is here.
Oh, well, shall. And my name's Avril, of the dining room. And if there's anything you need, just say, Avril.
Do you have any plans for this morning, sir?
Why?
I just thought there were one or two routine jobs that need doing, you know, that I could get on with. House-to-house inquiries, that sort of thing.
I'll just stay here and deduce.
Have you chosen your lunch, sir?
I'll have the soup and double cottage pie with lots of it.
Okie dokie. Ooh, found any clues yet?
Don't need clues, dear. I can smell a killer from here.
Chief Inspector.
Calm down, Sergeant. There's still some lunch left.
Have you caught the one who done it? I won't tell anyone. Excepting me mum, of course.
I'm sorry, miss. Avril. I really can't divulge.
Oh, of course you can't. Sorry. I'll leave you two to it, shall I?
If you would, dear. Come on then, out with it.
Well, for one thing, Cynthia Perking wasn't having an affair. Being who she was, everyone watched her like a hawk. So that makes it even less likely her husband did it, doesn't it, sir?
Well, maybe he thought she was having an affair. That'd suffice. Is that all you found?
Well, yes, so far. I want to learn more about the visitor in the car. I reckon he could be our man.
Well, off you trot then, but pick up a sandwich on the way. Don't want you keeling over.
Oh, yes, sir. And you'll be...
deducing. Avril?
You've polished off most of our dinner dessert, but I found tomorrow's chocolate gâteau in the fridge.
Excellent. No need to slice it, Avril.
Sir.
Oh, here he comes.
What is it now, McGregor? Well, okay, she's giving me some cake.
Well, one of the neighbours remembered that car. He's pretty sure it was an MG 1100 dark green, this year's model. Now, there can't be many of those in Potwinkle. So I checked with the local police. Offhand, they can only think of one person. Guess who?
Hereford Topping Whibley.
Yes.
Who the hell is Hereford Topping Whibley?
He's the nephew of Daniel Whibley. He brings his customers in here. And he looks like a killer. I'll just go then, shall I?
Yeah, please. Now Cynthia is dead, sir. He'll be Daniel Whibley's sole heir. See? He's got a motive.
You need a damn sight more than that before I take him seriously.
Look at the timing, sir.
Must I?
Please. Cynthia Perking was killed in that front room sometime between 4:30 and 6:30. There was a good fire and the TV was on. Now, we know from Mrs. Carruthers that Cynthia always watched that serial. She never missed. It ends at 5:45. And as soon as it's finished, she switches off and goes into the kitchen to start supper. So, since she was killed in the front room, she must have been killed before 5:45, mustn't she? Well, she must have. Otherwise, she'd have been in the kitchen. You saw for yourself, sir. The table hadn't even been laid. Now, John Perking didn't return home until 6:10, but his wife must have been dead by then. So we're looking for someone who was in that house before 6:15, and we found him. Now, we don't know exactly why Mr. Topping Whibley went round there at 5, but my guess is that while he's in there, Mrs. Perking tells him she's having a baby. He sees it's goodbye to his eventually taking control of the Whibley Empire. So he goes berserk and picks up a poker and kills her.
Codswallop. Was the murder premeditated or unpremeditated, Sergeant?
Well, premeditated, sir, definitely. Otherwise, why leave his car so far from the house?
Well, then, bang goes your precious motive. You say he killed Cynthia because she was pregnant. How did he know that before he went through her door? She only found out for sure herself that morning.
Well,
Cynthia Perkin was done in by her husband. Tomorrow morning we'll get a warrant and nip over to his sister's and arrest the murderous toad. Job done.
Sorry, I really must protest. No, please, let me have my say. You can't just ride roughshod over the evidence.
You cheeky young buck.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you seem to be so keen to do exactly what Mr. Whibley wants. Might it have something to do with your conversation yesterday?
Were you listening? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, sir, you can't simply waltz in and arrest John Perking because you have a general theory about wife murders. You haven't even met the poor man yet.
No, you're probably right, Sergeant. I'm truly sorry. I was being far too hasty. A long day. You can walk me up to my room. Bring that cake.
Righto, sir. Thank you.
Ah. While we're chatting so nicely like this, Sergeant, might I just ask you a little question about etiquette?
Etiquette, sir?
Oh, well, fire away.
When you're at home, watching the telly and a guest comes in, what do you do?
Well, first I switch off the telly and then...
Ain't these hotel people heard of lifts? Cynthia Perkin is sitting there watching her TV. 5 o'clock, front doorbell rings, she switches off the telly and lets Mr. Toppin, Watsit or whoever in. They have their chat and he stays until 5:25. Then he says, all polite-like, don't get up, Cynthia, I'll see myself out. Okay, she says, and makes a dive to switch the telly on, so she can see what's left of her precious cereal. And that, my clever young Sherlock, is why he didn't kill her.
Ah.
If you'd use your eyes as much as you use your mouth, laddie, you'd have seen it for yourself.
Seen what?
This is my room. Where did I put you?
In the attic, sir, as ever.
What would I have seen?
The kitchen, you idiot.
The kitchen, sir?
Shut the door. Look. McGregor, the unknown caller, Hereford, Watsit, or whoever, leaves the Perkins house at 5:25 or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Perkin watches the tail end of her television serial, then she turns the set off.
But you just said the set was
on. If you don't hold your tongue for one golden second, she turns the blasted set off, goes into the kitchen as usual, and starts getting the flaming supper ready. Here, help me get these damn boots off. At 6:10, John Perkin comes home. Now, on some pretext or other, he lures his wife back into the front room. Then he picks up the poker and bashes her brains out. Right, now the other boot. But now he's going to make it look like it happened before he came home, hasn't he? So he builds up the fire and then he switches the telly back on, okay?
Okay.
Then he rushes back into the kitchen and removes all traces that his wife had even started getting the supper ready.
Isn't that pure speculation,
No, it bloody well isn't. Do you know what Mr. and Mrs. Perkin were having for supper that sorry night?
No, sir.
Chops, chips and fried tomatoes. And how do I know that? Because them's what I saw in her little metal bin uneaten. Now, why would she throw away a perfectly good...
As it happened, Chief Inspector Dover was right about Hereford Topping Wibley. He had a watertight alibi, and the MG turned out to belong to a vacuum cleaner salesman from out of town, whom Mrs. Perkin had asked to call. But there was still no excuse for what happened the following day.
There he is, Constable, skulking behind that pigeon. Do your job, lad.
John Alexander Perkin?
Yes, what do you want?
Put your pigeons down, lad. I have a warrant here for your arrest on a charge of murdering Cynthia Rosalind Perkins.
What? You're joking, aren't you?
Why, you can't just whisk him off like that.
Of course we can, madam. Who's this?
Mr. Perkins' sister, I expect. It's her house.
I must warn you, sir. You were not obliged to...
She was dead when I got home. She was dead, I keep telling you. I saw her lying there all covered... You've got to believe me.
No, we don't. Take him away, lads.
Come on now.
Bye-bye, Chirpy. Bye, Mavis.
We'll get you out, John.
McGregor, I'm going to let you question Mr. Perkins' sister here all on your own, sir. My uncle had pigeons when I was a nipper. Hello, my little beauty.
It's Mrs. Stafford, and don't think you're getting a cup of tea. I've got washing to hang up.
Hostile witness. Make a note, sir.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Stafford, I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Me first. What happens now to our John?
I imagine they'll remand him for trial at the next assizes. You haven't got a solicitor, I suppose.
Us? This is Canal Bank Street. Most of them can't even spell the word. Make yourself useful. Hand me that sheet.
No. Here. Well, if John's got money, of course.
Money? John? He'd have earned more money working down Wibley's factory. But oh, no. Ah, John had to get out, make something of himself, wear a tie. That's why he joined that ruddy tennis club.
Tennis club? Is that where he met Cynthia?
Oh, good grief, no. The Wibleys have their own private tennis courts. No, it was that other girl, Mildred Denny. She was the one our John was after.
Mildred Denny.
Yeah. You seem nicer than that old pig over there.
No, well, the chief inspector was probably okay, you know. In his time.
Well, police work's moved on. Now, Mildred Denny.
Well, she was some sort of cousin of the Whibleys. John was 20. Mildred was 27 if she was a day, and no oil painting. Poor as a church mouse, too, so he was barking up the wrong tree there. But they were practically engaged, until John met Cynthia. And it was Mildred who introduced them, at a tennis party at the big house. And that, as they say, was that.
Did you ask the woman if she knew Cynthia was pregnant?
I was just about to.
What? Pregnant? After all that, well, our John can't have known, that's for sure.
We're pretty certain he did, Mrs. Stafford.
Well, I'll be. John loved Cynthia. If he did it, like everyone's saying he did, well, he must have had a brainstorm or something.
Like Ellie did, he killed her in cold blood, no question. And he tried to cover up the traces.
Would you sell me his pigeons once she's gone down?
How dare you!
You're looking at no less than the life's blood of Puckwinkle, gentlemen. Whibley sanitary ware.
Very impressive, Mr. Whibley. So many of them.
Aye. So, you've arrested him. About ruddy time, Dover. We've got the inquest coming up on Tuesday. Please don't sit on that bolus prototype.
I don't rush these things, Mr. Whibley. I like to dot my I's.
But there are things that still just don't fit.
I don't think we need to bother Mr. Whibley, Sergeant. He's got a factory
no,
to run.
No, no, let the lad speak. Mind that paint sprayer.
Well, sir, I'm not entirely happy about motive. Perking and your daughter appear to have been a very devoted couple, yet he's supposed to have killed her within hours of hearing that she was at long last pregnant.
Nitpicking.
Actually, Sergeant, the lack of credible motive has been bothering me, too. I don't want Perking pleading temporary insanity or some such nonsense. Nobody's going to murder my daughter and have folk feeling sorry for him. And I do believe it's in your own best interest, too. Hey, Chief Inspector.
Hey? Aye, quite, Mr. Whibley. Sack. Come on, McGregor, don't stand there dawdling. We're off to question a vile and evil murderer. Don't have a toilet I can use, do you?
Visitors for you, Mr. Perkin. Come on your feet.
Hello, Mr. Perkin.
Hello.
McGregor, I think you'd better leave the two of us alone. Don't want to intimidate Mr. Perkin now, do we?
Well,
Constable, make my young colleague here a nice cup of tea and keep one warm for me.
Sir?
This shouldn't take too long, should it, Mr. Perkin?
I can't tell you anything because I don't know anything.
Oh, I think you do, laddie. You just need a bit of encouragement.
You what?
Come on, mate. Let's leave your boss to it. He knows what he's doing.
Don't mind, I'll take my jacket off.
So, how long have you two been working together?
Too long. The old devil's from another age, Neanderthal, I think.
Oh, I say you can't knock the traditional methods. Hear that? You know, I think our young fellow will be spilling the beans before long.
I doubt it. That's my chief inspector screaming.
Right this way, ladies and gentlemen. Take your seats. Coroner's on his way.
Ah, Dover, there you are. Come on, man. Inquest about to start. Why the hell are you limping?
A war wound, Mr. Whibley. Always acts up in the rain.
Did Jerry blacken your eye as well and knock your front tooth out?
That was your son-in-law, sir. He resisted the chief inspector's line of questioning.
That's enough, McGregor.
Hello, Daniel.
Rosalind. Decent of you to come.
Oh, to my own daughter's inquest. You sanctimonious swine. Who's this odd person? Judging from the bruises, he must be one of your heavies.
Rosalind, this is Chief Inspector Dover of Scotland Yard. Dover, my estranged wife.
My commiserations, madam. I mean about your daughter. A mother's tears.
Thank you, Chief Inspector. Poor, poor Cynthia. Not that I was allowed to be much of a mother because this husband of mine drove me out.
If you had not behaved like a bitch in the manger and refused to divorce me, I could have provided my daughter with any one of 100 mother substitutes.
You heartless brute.
Better heartless than frigid.
Oh, don't start that.
I think we should take our seats.
You go. This rather reminds me of home.
Don't talk to me about disastrous marriages, you harpy.
Rosalind, Daniel, this is no place for quarrelling.
My God, Attilia.
Who the hell's this one? And who's the ugly little bird with her?
Oh, I need more family, I suppose.
Oh, I'll be in
not exactly close, are they?
Oh, dear Daniel, I had hoped poor Cynthia's death would at least curb your viciousness.
Poor Cynthia? You probably haven't seen her since the christening.
Actually, Daniel, Cynthia was a frequent visitor to our house before she married.
She and Mildred were very close when they were girls.
Who the devil's Mildred?
This is Mildred. She's my daughter, as you know perfectly well. Mildred, say good morning to your uncle.
Good morning, Uncle Daniel.
I am not your uncle. Your mother has the misfortune of being my ex-wife's first cousin. Ignore them, Inspector. We'll talk later.
My time is your time, Mr. Wibbly.
Excuse me, miss. Mildred?
Hello?
Mildred Denny.
Correct.
McGregor, go and sit down.
No, you sit down, sir. If you like. Am I right in thinking, Miss Denny, that you were going out with John Perking at the time he met Cynthia Wibbly?
They were as good as engaged. Cynthia stole John Perking from my Mildred in a most despicable way.
Mum, that was years ago. Poor Cynthia's dead.
Mildred understood John. She could have helped him reach unprecedented heights in the arena of holiday booking.
Madam, do you honestly regret your daughter not marrying a murderer?
John would not have been a murderer if Mildred had been his wife. Would he, Mildred?
Oh, I don't know, Mother.
I think he probably would. Come on, McGregor.
Chief Inspector. Chief Inspector. Chief Inspector.
Don't worry, Mr. W. Your factory's safe in my hands.
It's me, sir.
Huh? Oh. I just mulling over the case, always mull better with my eyes shut.
Lying under the covers in your smalls.
Exactly. Now, go run my bath for me, will you? My whole body's aching from that lunatic.
Oh, do you think Perkins insane, sir?
No, he's not getting off that easy. Would you run that bath?
All right.
Sex.
Excuse me, sir?
Sex. That has to be Perkins' motive. If it isn't money, what else is there, eh? Eh?
Well?
We've established Cynthia wasn't into hanky-panky, so it must have been naughty Johnny.
But everybody says John Perking was devoted to his wife.
That's why they're not chief inspectors. I reckon he had himself a juicy little popsy shacked up somewhere on the sly. After a few years, they both get a bit cheesed off with the waiting, so he pops home, does his wife in.
Yes, okay. But why kill her the minute he hears she's pregnant? You yourself said a grandchild would make Daniel Wibbly come across with the money.
Well, all right. Maybe it was the fact his missus was expecting that shoved him over the edge. Splash a bit of cold in there, laddie. I ain't a lobster.
So, you mean Perking killed his wife because she was pregnant?
He's all set to pack his marriage in. When out of the blue, she tells him, darling, I've a bun in the oven. Now, he can't leave her for his popsy half so easily. So, bosh, poker time. Yes, that's your answer.
I'm still not sure, sir.
It's sex. The old male impulse. I'll stake my reputation on it. Anyway, we'll have to get down to it.
You're going to interview Perking again?
That lunatic, no rally fear. We'll start with his travel agency. Just as soon as I've had my Tuesday bath.
Gah!
What? Ain't you ever seen a chief inspector like it?
I'm ever so sorry. We're just about to close up.
Well, I suggest you do just that, because we'd like a few words with you, girlie.
And who might you be?
Tell us, Sergeant.
This is Chief Inspector Dover, and
I... Don't need your biography. Right, miss. So how long have you been working with Mr. John Perking?
That rhymes.
I saw that. Working, Perking. and you're Miss...
Blockswich. But you can call me Dorothea.
Dorothea. What a lovely name.
So what's yours then?
Charles. Sergeant McGregor.
Struth.
So, how long have you been working here at the travel agency, Miss Blockswich?
Since I left school. But I'm a big girl now, Charlie.
Hi.
So you knew John Perking pretty well then. Did he ever try getting fresh with you?
I'd like to see him. I could eat two of him before breakfast and still have room for toast.
The day your boss demolished his missus with a poker, did you notice anything unusual about his behaviour?
Sir, he's only a suspect.
Miss Blockswich.
Well, nothing especially that day. But he'd been touchy for a week or so, actually.
How do you mean, touchy?
I don't know. Touchy. Like he was all tense and worried about something.
And you've no idea what?
didn't care, really. Only work here.
Do you go out for lunch?
Oh, that's very nice of you, Charles. I'm free myself.
He meant, could your Mr. P be entertaining the popsy in here while you were out scoffing your sandwiches?
In here? You cops haven't half got sexy minds. He hasn't even made a pass at me. Can you believe that?
No.
Maybe he likes classy birds. Is that his office through there? Follow me, you two, and McGregor. Keep your hands in your pockets.
Don't let him upset you. I'm the brains on this case.
I like a man with a bit of brains, Charles.
Yeah. Nice comfy chair. Better than what we get at the yard, eh, McGregor?
Yes, sir. So, Dorothea?
Well, old Perky did go out sometimes. Matter of fact, he went out that very morning. What do you think of that?
Not much until you give us some details.
Well, he and I were arguing about the window display.
Oh, yes.
I'm just at the point of telling him what he can do with it when he puts his hat and coat on and says he's going out. Well, good riddance, I thought.
And what time was this?
10:30, 10:45, something like that.
Did he tell you where he was going?
I'd stopped listening by then.
What time did he get back?
About 12.
And?
Well, now I recall, he looked terrible. I mean, he wasn't exactly Rock Hudson to start with, but his eyes were staring out of his head, and his face was all white and his hands.
What about his hands?
Well, they were trembling, Charlie, and his breath was coming in great violent gusts.
You're not writing a novel.
He was upset about something, so there. He just came straight into this office, shut his door, and didn't come out all afternoon.
Didn't Mr. Perkin get a phone call when he got back?
Oh, that's right. You are clever. It was his late wife. Well, she wasn't late when, you know...
Did you hear what she said, Dorothea?
Well, actually, Charlie, no. A customer came in, and I had to show her where Aberdeen was on the map. It's in Scotland. By the time we were done, Mr. P had shut himself in his office again.
And you're sure you don't know where he went that morning?
Sorry, love.
May Nayland mean anything to you?
Never heard of it.
Nayland, sir?
Trouble with you, laddie, is you're so clever you can't see what's under your flaming nose. Perkins' desk diary, see? An appointment the day he killed his wife. Nayland, 11 o'clock.
Oh, well, Nayland. Okay, well, that's not a very common sort of name, is it, sir? We should be able to track that fairly easily. I wonder if there's anything on his desk that might give us a clue.
Well, perhaps you'd care to have a look.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, I'll just look through the local phone directory. I wonder who'll get lucky first, eh?
Are you sure you two should be working together?
Lucky there was only one Nayland in the book, wasn't it, sir? Mm. Dr. J.J.J. J. Nayland, M.D. Well, this Nayland certainly isn't Perkins' regular doctor, sir. I can assure you of that.
Thanks very much.
Perkins has got the name of his own doctor written down quite clearly inside the first aid box, sir. Sir? Are you okay?
Don't like doctors. Ever since I had this fungus.
Yes? Can I help you?
Dr. J.J. Nayland?
J.J.J. Nayland. Who are you, chap?
We're police officers, sir. This is Chief Inspector Dover of Scotland Yard. Can we come in?
Well, I suppose so. Make sure you wipe your feet.
I'll wipe them on your face if you don't let us through that door.
Listen, if it's about that young girl who works at the bookies, she's making the whole blessed thing up. Do sit down. Good grief! I'm an ex-officer of the RAMC.
It's not about the young girl from the bookies.
You know a man called John Perkin?
Can't say I do. Now, if you'll just...
He's a patient of yours?
Oh, well, can't keep tabs on all the poor devils. That's why I've got my files.
Doesn't the name John Perking mean anything to you?
No. Should it?
John Perking has been arrested for murdering his wife.
Blimey. Sorry, do you mind if I just... Purely medicinal, you understand. I'd pass it around, but I know you chaps don't indulge while on duty.
You've been watching too many films. Mm. Don't worry about a glass.
John Perking came to see you on the morning of the day he killed his wife.
Oh, yes, well... The cove did have a busy day, didn't he?
Look him up in your records now.
Well, you see, I really don't think this is quite ethical. Doctor-patient relationship, you understand?
Listen, you public school quack. Don't try getting clever with me. I'll push those false gnashes so far down your throat, you need to sit on a scrubbing brush to brighten them. Yeah, okay. Is John Perkin a regular patient of yours?
No, not what you'd call regular. He rang me up about 2 or 3 weeks ago and asked for an appointment.
And what did he want to consult you about?
Mr. Perking consulted me on a very delicate and intimate matter.
Which was?
He wanted to know if he was capable of fathering a child.
But why didn't he go to his own doctor?
Because he wanted it done on the quiet, that's why.
And all this happened 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yes. Naturally, I don't have the facilities to do all the lab work here, so I had to send off the specimens. Well, the other day I got the results from the laboratory, and I suggested he should pop in and see me, which he did.
So that must be why he'd been so on edge, sir. Just waiting for the results.
Well, we know what the ruddy results were. He must have been cock-a-hoop.
Hardly. He took it very badly. Seemed to think it was my fault.
I'm sorry? Why should he react like that? What was in the lab report?
Words of one syllable. Negative.
Negative? Negative?
That's right. Nobody would ever call him Daddy.
Oh, but there must be some mistake.
That's what he kept saying, but no mistake.
Oh, so let me get this quite clear. As of this moment, John Perking is incapable of fathering a child?
And always has been. Shooting blanks. That clear enough for you? Not that it's going to be much of a problem if he's going off to do a 20-year stretch. I say, you chaps have gone awfully quiet.
Sir, what do you make of all this?
Poppycock.
Oh, look here. Let's be sensible about this. The lab report is correct. Besides, they'd been trying for 3 years and nothing had happened, had it?
Listen, Dr. Smart Aleck, Perkins' wife was 2 months pregnant when he did her in. She'd been told that for definite by her own doctor that very morning.
Yes? Well, maybe her lab tests were wrong. Never thought of that, did you?
The pregnancy was confirmed at post-mortem, smart ass.
All right, well, little wifey may have been pregnant. That doesn't mean the husband's responsible, does it? You must have led a very sheltered life, Chief Inspector.
Come here.
No. Chief Inspector, you're strangling him.
Listen, Leland, you can get into serious trouble slandering poor dead girls who can't defend themselves, especially when they've got influential fathers. Not another word about Cynthia Perkin, eh? All these tests, understood?
Understood.
Now, any more of that whiskey going? It was rather smooth.
One small salad, one extra large cod. So, have you cracked it, then?
Well, actually, it's proving a real poser.
I'm on top of it, young lady. Don't you fret.
Have you considered gangland slaying? Well, call me if you need me.
Right. Well, we know Cynthia Perking was pregnant, and we know her husband couldn't be the father. Poor Mr. Wibley will be mortified.
Boy, sunshine. You are not telling Mr. Wibley anything, you hear me? Not a thing. He won't like it. If Mr. Wibley doesn't like it, he won't offer me...
Won't offer you what, sir?
His full support. What else could he offer me?
Well, I don't know, sir. A job, sir? Like head of security with Wibley Sanitary Works?
You just button it. It's not easy being my age, McGregor. Even when you are a national legend.
Okay. Dr. Nayland tells Perking he's sterile. The poor guy's absolutely shattered and returns to his office. Almost immediately, Mrs. Perking rings him up and tells him she's expecting. He broods all afternoon, decides he's going to kill her, and works out his alibi. Then he cycles home, usual time, and does it.
I think I'll take my teeth out when I get upstairs. Got a funny taste in my mouth.
And while you're doing that, I think I'll call in on Cynthia Perking's doctor.
More doctors? Why? What for?
Well, sir, suppose Mrs. Perking was so set on having a baby that she... Well, resorted to artificial insemination or something.
I'm having my lunch.
We do need an explanation, sir.
Do we? I was keen like you once, Sergeant. But fortunately, I grew out of it.
I don't care who you are. Dr. Hurst is with a patient that has to go out on a call.
McGregor, tell the old bat we're going in to see his lordship, and if she doesn't like it, she can lump it.
I heard that, and it'll be over my dead body.
McGregor, kill her.
Oh, sir!
Cheerio, Mrs. Lake Hall. Same time next week. What's all this racket?
Who are you?
I tried to stop them, Dr. Hurst.
You're Dr. Hurst?
Yes. Is that a problem?
Dr. Hurst, I'm Sergeant McGregor, and this is Chief Inspector Dover.
I can't imagine why you had to come at this time.
Begging your pardon, madam, but on murder inquiries, every second counts.
Well, you can ride in the car with me. I have a sick patient to see. Considering your size, you'd better stretch out in the back.
I'm not getting into a car with a woman driver.
Hope you don't mind the open roof. The air clears my head.
What do you say?
I thought you'd already arrested your man.
There are still some loose ends.
You know, I find the idea Mr. Perkin murdered his wife so brutally quite ludicrous. He struck me as being a very decent,
loving man.
He struck me as being a ruthless thug. Can you put your windows up?
Cassie. Now, what was it you wanted to see me about?
It's Cynthia Perkins' pregnancy. We're a bit puzzled about it.
I really can't see why. We carried out a perfectly simple test, and the results came back positive on the very morning she was killed. Poor lady, she was so... Get out of the way, man!
Dear God, talking of murderers...
Would you be surprised to hear that John Perkins consulted another doctor some weeks ago on the question of his fertility?
No, not really. These things are often easier to discuss with a stranger and a man.
He told us John Perkins was sterile.
What?
The madwoman's doing it again!
Mrs. Perkins, I do assure you, was pregnant. Of course, there could have been another man, I suppose.
Well, did she give you any reason to believe that might be the situation?
No. As I told you, she was wildly delighted. I found it very hard to believe there was someone else involved.
Now, how about artificial insemination?
Quite out of the question. Apart from anything else, the husband has to give his consent.
How do you explain it, Doctor?
Fortunately, I don't have to. Fleeting encounter, perhaps? In her desperation to have a child, she alighted on someone who...
Could the doctor have mistaken Perkins' condition?
The diagnosis would be based on tests made at the laboratory. All he would have to do is read.
Well, it's a mystery.
Yes, isn't it? Now, I'd better get to my patient.
Hey, just hold your horses.
What?
The laboratory everyone keeps whittling on about. Where is it?
It's attached to our general hospital. But a mistake on the lab spot is quite out of the question. Everything they do is checked and double-checked. Now, I
really... Not yet. When you examined Mrs. Perkins for pregnancy, what did you do exactly?
Oh, really?
Skip the messy bits. I thought you said something about making some sort of test.
That's right. One takes a sample of blood which is then injected into a rabbit.
Do you do all that?
Of course not. I send the blood sample to the laboratory.
The same laboratory?
Well, yes. The same laboratory.
Chief Inspector, sir.
Shh, quiet, McGregor. We're just at the exciting bit.
Sir, you've been watching that television for hours.
And?
I've just phoned that laboratory at the hospital.
So?
The director's secretary said he can see us this afternoon. I said we'd be around in about 10 minutes.
Hold your horses. What's your hurry?
Well, you said yourself. The lab must have made a mistake about Perkins. You know, being sterile.
Yeah, probably. But don't trust the medical profession. Do you know, one of those idiots told me I had to cut down on drinking, smoking and eating. How about breathing, I said. That shut him up.
The car's waiting outside. If the lab did make a mistake, sir, that would make everyone in court feel a bit of sympathy for Perkins, wouldn't it? And they might not throw away the key.
I suppose so. I'm my own worst enemy. Do you know that, McGregor?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, sir.
Ah. Does this rain never stop? And look, more ruddy steps. What happens if you've broken a leg?
I expect to carry you up on a stretcher, sir.
You couldn't go find me and... Nah, come on.
Hello! Hello! The policeman! Policeman!
Why's that woman waving at us?
Are you the policeman? You look like policeman.
Madam, calm down, will you? Foreigner McGregor, they get overexcited.
Mademoiselle.
Oui.
Yes, we are policemen.
Ah, bon. You are here very quick.
Sorry?
No, sorry. Vinny.
What the purple blazes is going on?
I've absolutely no idea, sir. She does seem awfully pleased to see us.
I'll catch her up, shall I?
Sorry, please. The lift is opening now.
She needs sedating, this one.
Vinny, we are going to the top.
Lucky us. Ask her what's going on, laddie. This isn't a mental hospital, is it?
I don't think so, sir. Madam, Miss... Qu'est-ce que c'est le problem?
Emergency. Emergency.
I think it's an emergency, sir.
Get away. Well, it can't be any of our concern. We got our man in jail.
We go to see Dr. Morton.
Another blasted doctor. They're turning up like bad pennies.
Ah, here we are. That is Dr. Morton.
Ah.
Here you come. Dr. Morton!
Are you the police?
Who do you think we are, Tom and Jerry?
This way. Thank God you're here. I thought you were never coming.
But I only just rang your office.
Leave this to me, Sergeant. First off, matey, let's all slow down, shall we? Second, who the devil are you?
Oh, sorry. I'm Dr. Morton. I'm the director of the laboratory. Nothing like this has ever happened before. It's a nightmare.
You're telling me, and the weather's lousy to boot. What's going on?
It's my fool of a secretary. She was in the office just now, well, about half an hour ago, and she answered the telephone. Something about somebody wanting to come and see me this afternoon. Anyway, as soon as she put the phone down, she went berserk. That's why we called you.
I don't think you did.
Let the fella talk, McGregor. I like the smell of confusion. So, what did his secretary do?
Well, she shot out of the laboratory building and raced across here to the main block. I saw her from my office window. I suppose I should have just run after her, but, well, you never know with women, do you, when they fly off the handle like
that? Certainly don't. I usually just nip down to my local till the storm passes.
Yes. Well, I just stood there at the window. I noticed some nurses pointing up at the top floor of the hospital. Well, I just about knew then what it must be, so I looked up and, blow me, there she was.
There he was.
My secretary, who else? She'd climbed out onto the roof of the hospital in all this rain.
And then what happened?
Well, nothing. She's still out there.
Well, this is all very interesting, but do you think we can go back to your office and ask you a few questions?
I can't leave the poor girl out there on the roof. She is my secretary, after all. I've got a whole load of typing.
Listen, matey, I don't care if she's your grandmother. If she wants to jump, let her.
Oh, I'm sure you don't mean that. Look, you must have to do this all the time. Can't you just talk her down?
No.
No.
Sir, suppose this got into the newspapers. The commissioner would be livid.
I'll give her 5 minutes, then I'm off. What's her blasted name?
Mildred. Mildred Denny.
Mildred Denny?
Yes. She's a cousin of that poor girl who was murdered the other day. Do you think that's what might have upset her?
I'm going to kill myself. If anybody tries to come out here, I shall jump.
The sooner the rally, better. Why wasn't I told that Cynthia Flaming Perkins' cousin worked here?
Maybe we should talk about this later, sir. Here, would you like me to open the window a bit more so you can climb out?
You go and talk to him, McGregor. You're more her type.
I think we should both go, sir.
Oh, all right. Well, come on then, man. Give me your paw.
Don't come any nearer. I'm warning you.
I need to be scared, girlie. Just want to talk to you.
I know who you are. You're policeman.
Bullseye. Now, you're getting ever so wet out here, and you're not the only one. So, why don't we talk inside over a nice cup of tea?
I'm a murderer, you know. You wouldn't want tea with a murderer.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Let me try, sir. Miss Denny.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How exactly are you a murderer?
Actually, I don't think I should tell you.
What's the ruddy difference? You're going to chop yourself anyway.
Oh, fair point. Well, I'm secretary to the director of the laboratory.
I'm catching pneumonia out here.
Sorry. You see, these two reports landed on my desk at the same time for me to type out the results for the people concerned. Well, naturally, I read them. I had to, hadn't I? And one was John Perkins.
Oh? And what did it say?
Well, it said there was nothing the matter with him. You know, no medical reason why he shouldn't be a father. So I thought, well, that's nice. I did, honestly.
No medical reason why he shouldn't be a father.
No.
Go on, go, and don't interrupt McGregor, or we'll be here all day.
Anyway, before I typed it out, I thought I'd get the routine confirmations of pregnancies out of the way first. And there, right on top of the pile, was one for Mrs. Cynthia Perkins. Well, it was just too much. It really was.
What did you do?
She always had everything, did Cynthia. Good looks, lots of money, wonderful backhand. She even had my John. And now she was going to have the baby she'd set her heart on. Well, it just wasn't fair, was it? I think I'll jump.
No, please. Here, take my hand, Mildred.
No, go away.
McGregor, back off, you fool. It's okay, Mildred. Just move away from the edge. That's a good girl. Tell us what you did.
Well, it was so simple. All I had to do was alter John's lab report. Just change one little word. Positive, negative. John would be told he was sterile at the very moment Cynthia was told she was pregnant. I know John. He'd go mad if he thought Cynthia had been unfaithful.
And he did, didn't he? Madder than I thought, actually. And I knew he'd rather die than tell anybody why he'd done it. Men.
Dear Lord, but why on earth didn't you keep your trap shut? You'd have been safe as houses.
But I thought you'd found out what I'd done. When you phoned up to say you were coming to the lab, I just assumed...
Yeah, well, we had, more or less. I was on to you, Missy, make no mistake. But listen, Mildred, I know you love John. So why don't you just come over here to me? I'm sure we can get round all this.
Well...
Come on, sweetheart.
Oh, all right. Thank you. You're very kind.
Grab her! Grab the fool, get the braces on her...
Hey, oh, right, sir.
If I'd have been you, girl, I'd have jumped.
John Perkin got off with manslaughter, and Dover never did get that job at Whibley's. And so, for the 23rd time, I am asking, no, imploring, that I be transferred to another chief inspector. Any chief inspector. Signed, Sergeant Charles...
McGregor! Finish that blasted report, Eddie, and grab your coat. We're off on another one.
Coming, sir.
In Dover Goes to Pot by Joyce Porter, dramatised for radio by Paul Mendelssohn, Inspector Dover was played by Kenneth Cranham. Sergeant McGregor by Stuart Macquarie. Daniel Whibley, Paul Copley, Mrs. Carruthers, Carolyn Pickles, Avril, Nicola Wainwright, Mildred Denny, Carla Simpson, Mrs. Withercombe, Liza Sadovy, John Perkin, Andrew Harrison. All other parts were played by members of the cast. The play was directed by David Ian Neville.